What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I am your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw. We are live here on 89.3 Elon in Burlington, I believe, and here on YouTube as well. So welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, as always, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw. We are here today to, as you can see from the title, discuss the NFL Combine. So we are ready for the Combine season. Getting things under wrap here and ready to go with the NFL Combine and wrapping up what was a great weekend in Indianapolis. You know, a lot of great prospects on display, a lot of great coverage from the, you know, team at NFL Network, ESPN coverage as well. All the coverage people had on Twitter that were there in attendance for the NFL Combine. A great weekend all around at the NFL Combine, and I was excited to see all the things transpire throughout the weekend, the different tests going on, the different players testing, you know, seeing all the rumblings that are happening now within the league circles with everyone being able to meet together, all of that type of thing happening at the NFL Combine. Always a great experience year in and year out, every single year at the NFL Combine. So today we're going to break down some of these prospects that we saw over the weekend, some of the best Combine showcases that we saw over the weekend, and just, you know, how, you know, what players, you know, had their stocks rise going into the NFL draft, which players may have felt, you know, had their stocks fall going into the NFL draft, all that type of thing coming up in today's episode. We're going to go, you know, break it down day by day. So, you know, Thursday with the defensive linemen and the linebackers, Friday with the defensive backs, Saturday with the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends, and finally yesterday on Sunday wrapped up with the offensive linemen and the running back groups. But before we get into the combine, we got to talk about the buzz around town in the NFL that happened over the weekend and since the last week, you know, last Monday when we were on. First and foremost, tomorrow is the franchise tag deadline. The deadline is tomorrow at 4 p.m. March 7th. Teams have until tomorrow at 4 p.m. to place the franchise tag on prospective candidates, and, you know, get the players on a franchise tag potentially. Or we see maybe some extensions or trades take place within the next 24 hours leading up to tomorrow's trade deadline. So a big deal. We talked about it last week here on the show. If you missed that, it's on our YouTube channel at the Slaw Sports Show. You can go back and check it out. The franchise tag candidates and some of the big names and what we think will happen with some of those big guys on a potential franchise tag situation going into the deadline this year. So yeah, check that out. Also on the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get a podcast, at the Slaw Sports Show is there as well. To check out last week's episode breaking down the trade deadline, or excuse me, the franchise tag deadline. So, you know, still some names out there. Right now we've only had a handful actually get the tag, so far this season. De'Aaron Payne was tagged by the Washington Commanders as we predicted. Josh Jacobs as well with the Las Vegas Raiders. Tight end Evan Engram got his franchise tag with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm still holding out hope of a potential contract extension to be tacked onto that franchise tag with the Jaguars. And also running back Tony Pollard from the Dallas Cowboys also franchise tagged as well. So still some names out there. The ones that we have highlighted, Lamar Jackson, obviously the big one with the Baltimore Ravens. What do we expect to see out of him before tomorrow's deadline? Tight end Mike Gesicki, quarterback Daniel Jones, along with Saquon Barkley. From the New York Jets, and Geno Smith is my last big one that I'm keeping my eye on going into the trade deadline tomorrow. The franchise tag deadline. I'm always worked up over the trade deadline. Franchise tag deadline tomorrow. So the other thing with the buzz coming out this morning, last week the buzz was in Los Angeles with the LA Rams potentially trading Jalen Ramsey. Another trade potentially on the way with the LA Rams now today on the buzz. Allen Robinson has been a talk of a lot of headlines this morning as a potential trade candidate going into next season. Allen Robinson signed a big deal last year with the LA Rams in the offseason. You know, everyone's excited to see him finally on a big team with a new quarterback in Matthew Stafford, one that can hopefully, you know, get the strength out of him. But the 29-year-old, did not live up to the hype after signing with the Rams in year one, had a pretty down year last year. And with his contract situation in place now with the Rams, it seems like they are going to give him the permission to seek a trade. Breaking news coming from Tom Pelissero earlier this morning. And the Rams are also willing to pay a portion of Allen Robinson's $15.25 million guaranteed salary in order to facilitate a potential trade. So for me, this is a big one. Allen Robinson potentially on the move. I want to see You know, what team is going to bite, if any? I mean, I don't know. It depends on how much the Rams are willing to eat of this contract, first and foremost. How much are the Rams actually willing to pay on that contract in order to facilitate a trade going forward is going to be the one that is going to be the kicker in this one for the LA Rams going into next season. And also, what compensation they're going to get. I mean, if you facilitate this trade and are willing to pay, you know, half of the guaranteed salary, you know, half that $15 million if you're the LA Rams, I think at most you're going to get a third-round pick potentially from a team. I think I'm personally not going to give more than a fourth-round pick for Allen Robinson after the year we saw last year. But, you know, what we're going to get into later today with this wide receiver class going into the draft and also the free agent wide receiver class right now going into the next 2 weeks once free agency opens, a week from today, I believe, the legal tampering period begins. Allen Robinson might have some potential suitors because both classes don't look that good right now. Pretty lacking classes, so we'll see what happens in that regards. But Allen Robinson potentially on the move from the LA Rams. Second time in 2 weeks we're talking about a trade potentially on the way out of Los Angeles. So the other thing that was big coming out of the combine, of course, you know, the mixing and mingling of executives, of general managers, of agents, and also players. Derek Carr has been the big name this weekend. Where will he eventually sign before the start of free agency? Again, after being released from the Raiders, he is now given, you know, the opportunity to sign with any team before free agency. So we're going to see what happens with Derek Carr going into the next couple of weeks. The New York Jets seemingly have Carr as their number one guy, but they're still waiting for the decision from quarterback Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers. What does his future lie with the team? What does he feel like is, you know, on the way in terms of the future of his career? Is it going to be in Green Bay? Will it be on the move? It's seeming like right now Aaron Rodgers has holding three teams hostage right now as it current stands in the NFL. The Green Bay Packers, the New York Jets, and potentially the New Orleans Saints, all waiting on an answer from Aaron Rodgers just because of Derek Carr as well. You know, if Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay, it's seeming like Derek Carr is going to sign with the New York Jets as their number one guy, probably get some more money if Rodgers stays. And then now what do the New Orleans Saints do? Now, on the flip side, if the Jets trade and get Aaron Rodgers, now you have Derek Carr potentially signing with the New Orleans Saints. All in all, big storyline right now. Derek Carr's met with a couple teams, including the Carolina Panthers, along with those two teams I've mentioned. So that is another big storyline that we were, you know, able to follow over the weekend within the league circles has been Derek Carr and this Aaron Rodgers situation and how the two tie in with each other within the regards of what's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks. And finally, Jimmy Garoppolo as well, another player that we have to talk about, potentially on the move, free agent of the San Francisco 49ers. It seems like his career as a 49er has finally come to a close. So now he's, you know, open to joining a new squad in free agency. And it seems like he might have a reunion with former offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. The two spent time together in New England, and now it's seeming like maybe a reunion could take place with the Las Vegas Raiders, potentially looking toward Jimmy Garoppolo. And this makes sense. I mean, the big weekend we saw from the quarterbacks this weekend at the NFL Combine, you know, the Raiders were one of those teams potentially in the market to get a quarterback in the draft. But now it seems like, you know, with the stock rising, the Raiders got to move up quite a bit from the number 7 overall pick into the top 5 if they want to select a quarterback in the first round. So it makes sense to go for a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, someone that has had experience working under Josh McDaniels during their time in New England, a familiar system for Jimmy Garoppolo to walk into in his first year with the Raiders and hopefully find some success with a new team. So those three quarterbacks, Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo, took a lot of headlines over the weekend from the NFL Combine and all the takeaways that we saw from there. So that is our buzz of what we are seeing right now in the current landscape of the National Football League. And last but not least, as it pertains to the draft, obviously the big thing out of this weekend has been with the Chicago Bears. What conversations were had with Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears in regards to the number one overall pick? That is going to, in my opinion, happen within the next 2 weeks. I think this pick is traded and a new team will come up and take that top spot in the NFL draft. After now seeing some guys in person, interviewing with some players and prospects in the draft, Now it seems like going forward, we will have some big news upcoming with this number one overall pick. And Ryan Poles came out and said today he believes not only will he get a fellow 2023 first round pick from a team, but he also said, I know I can get a 2024 one and a 2025 one. That's three picks in the next 3 years that Ryan Poles believes he can get in a trade for the number one overall pick. So what team bites? What team moves up and trades two future first round picks for the number one overall selection? Is going to be the Houston Texans, the Indianapolis Colts? Will it be the Carolina Panthers moving up from the ninth overall spot? Big decisions upcoming in it, you know, as it pertains to the draft, as it pertains to what we saw this weekend at the combine with some of these prospects. It seems like the Bears are open to trading that number one overall pick as expected going into the season. Now we see it finally starting to ramp up and start gaining some steam, and I think a deal could be done within the next 2 weeks. So that is our buzz. That is what, you know, all the tales, all the storylines, all of the news coming out of the combine. That's not even the combine itself. So for the rest of today's episode, as promised, we will be breaking down, giving our takeaways, you know, analyzing what we saw, running through some numbers, looking at some RAS scores, everything that happened at the combine this weekend. What are the headlines? What do you need to know for those of you who were not able to check it out over the weekend, busy schedule, whatever it may be? We're here to get you covered on what we saw and what transpired over the weekend in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. So we're going to start, of course, with Thursday. Thursday, defensive linemen and the linebackers. And the big one we first have to talk about is defensive tackle Jalen Carter from Georgia. Jalen Carter on Wednesday was booked and released back in Athens, Georgia, over an incident that, you know, transpired in Georgia earlier in the year. Reckless driving incident. Warrant, you know, came out for his arrest. He left the combine, went down to Athens, was booked and released on Wednesday, made it back to Indianapolis on Thursday, but did not test with the fellow defensive lineman. This is a huge storyline. A, you know, literally a left field out of nowhere bombshell that came out Wednesday morning where Jalen Carter had to leave, clear up this situation, come back, and now how does this affect his stock going forward is going to be a kicker. Jalen Carter, many project to be the top talent in this year's class. And, you know, a favorite of the Bears, potentially wherever they move back into if they trade the number one overall pick. But nevertheless, he was expected to be a top five, top three player in this year's draft. And now with, you know, this big bombshell of a news coming out, a legal situation with Jalen Carter, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. He is still able to come back on Thursday, which is a good sign. But nevertheless, this is a huge concern you'd have to think on Jalen Carter and his future, potentially maybe his character going forward. But, you know, I don't want to talk too much about this, you know, in pertains of a legal matter and, you know, getting that, you know, fully wrapped up. But this is still a big deal with Jalen Carter in this situation. But being able to come back at the combine and get everything hopefully wrapped up with teams who are interested in, you know, pursuing him in come April's draft, you know, be able to talk to some people again at the combine was probably good for him, get some stuff wrapped up. Some league sources have said that, you know, this isn't a detrimental blow to Jalen Carter, and they, you know, many don't think he will drop too much because of this issue and his projections within the top of the first round, but still a big one that came out on Thursday and or Wednesday and into Thursday. Now, as it pertains to Thursday itself, on the field, what we saw from the combine, from the testings, we first and foremost have to talk about Nolan Smith. What Nolan Smith did on Thursday was absolutely exceptional. For a player who's 6'2", 238, worked out with the defensive line and worked out with the edge rushers, in my opinion, may have worked out better with the linebacker group. But still, we'll pull this up just so you can see it. Nolan Smith, RAS score from the combine on Thursday. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Height, you know, like I said, 6'2", weight, 238. Both were, you know, tested out very poor for a defensive end. That's why I said, you know, potentially would have worked out better for him at testing out as a linebacker. But still, some of these other scores were absolutely elite. a 9.99 composite grade at the 40-yard dash with a 4.39 at 2.38, the second fastest time by a defensive end since 2003, which is an absolute absurd score for him. 41.5-inch vertical, 9.98 elite composite grade with his explosion. Broad jump as well had a 9.84. 10-yard split was great. You know, 20-yard split was great. Everything that Nolan Smith was able to showcase was great. And it's easy to see why a lot of people are liking him right now. Nolan Smith, I think, has risen up the charts, a potential top 15 pick now, where at first I had him as a borderline first-round pick, you know, maybe squeaking into the first round as a defensive end, an outside, you know, linebacker, pass rusher. I thought he was going to be a, you know, sneakily in the first round, you know, into the 20s, the late 20s potentially. Now I easily can see him being a top 15 pick. I'm going to have to adjust my ratings for Nolan Smith after this combine. He was just able to put out, impress a lot of people with the scores he was able to put out at Thursday's combine. And next player we have to discuss, a defensive tackle who had a lot of headlines as well from Pittsburgh, Kalijah Kancey. A lot of comparisons made with Kalijah Kancey and fellow Pittsburgh star Aaron Donald back during his time. An undersized defensive tackle, 6'1", 281. But oh my gosh, this guy showcased the speed. 4.67 40-yard time, the fastest for a defensive tackle since 2003. And, you know, just like I said, if you're getting comped to Aaron Donald at the NFL Combine, you know, a player many were sleeping on going into the draft has now become the perennial greatest defensive tackle, potentially, in NFL history. What he's able to do, Kalijah Kancey, a big showcase. Getting fellow comparisons like that high is absolutely insane to see. And now, you know, put himself on the radar, potentially of some NFL teams as a prospect going forward. So, Kancey, kudos to you. Good job. Great showcase there at the NFL Combine on Thursday. And now we'll talk about another one, Owen Popo, the freak. He lived up to it. I mean, Popo literally lived up to the name the freak. The linebacker, 4.39 40-yard dash with a 1.52 10-yard split. He showcased the speed out of nowhere, blazing speed at the combine. 4.39 is an insane speed, tied Nolan Smith, which again, Nolan Smith, that's a defensive end. I think he should have lined up as a linebacker, so it would have been comparable to Popo in the 40-yard dash time. But Popo showed a lot of explosiveness on display at the combine on Thursday, and I was excited to see what he was able to do on the field. And at, you know, overall, the edge rusher position in this year's draft, I think, is one of the deepest in the entire class this year coming into it. The cornerback class and the defensive edge rusher class are deep, and they are deep with a lot of great talent at the position. And I'm excited to see these guys really work together and, you know, come into the league and put out great talent into the National Football League. But also this linebacker class is shaping out to be pretty good as well going into this year's class. I think a lot of these guys performed very well this year at the combine. Trenton Simpson did good. The linebacker from Clemson, Drew Sanders, showcased a lot of great stuff with some on-the-field work. Jack Campbell also looked pretty good as well coming out of Iowa. So there's some linebackers in here as well. You know, I'm seeing a lot of headlines about Jack Campbell potentially being a Quay Walker-like player who gets into the back end of the first round, like we saw from Georgia last year, getting drafted by the Green Bay Packers. Jack Campbell is that guy that sneaks back into it. But also two more edges I want to shout out as well that had a pretty good day on Thursday. Will McDonald, the fourth, first and foremost. I mean, a guy who on Tuesday had a 104-degree fever, he still came out and tested on Thursday, and he looked great. You know, you look at the numbers, it may have not been what you were expecting, but considering what he was able to, you know, what he went through, and, you know, with his fever and, you know, the illness that he was dealing with, and he still performed at a high level, it was great to see from Will McDonald. And also Lucas Van Ness as well out of Iowa. I think he also impressed me. I like him as well. I liked him going into the combine. I think he was able to showcase a lot of, you know, his positional versatility that, you know, he's known for in the league, and also answered a lot of questions as well. A guy who never started a game in Iowa, was a rotational guy, but still productive with Iowa.
played inside, played on the edge in 2022. I think he was able to have a good performance on Thursday and help, maybe quench some of the potential issues that, teams had with him being a rotational guy. Can he handle a three down work? Meeting with some teams, answering some of those questions, I'm sure it was great to see it with some insight from Lucas Van Ness. Now we're going to move on to the defensive back class. And again, I said the defensive line class, the defensive ends, and the defensive backs, the cornerbacks in particular, are the deepest position in this year's class by far, in my opinion. We talked about the defensive linemen. Now let's talk about this cornerback group. And first and foremost, from what we saw at the combine on Friday, those Maryland boys are fast. The top, two of the top three fastest times out of this cornerback class were two Maryland standouts, Ja'Corian Bennett and Deontay Banks. Bennett with a 4.3 and then Deontay Banks with a 4.35. Those two guys blazing speeds at the 40-yard dash. Again, ranked 2 and 3 in this cornerback group. Deontay Banks has risen up the charts as of late coming out of Maryland. That 4.35 certainly helps his case moving up in the boards and on the charts going into the draft in April. And speaking of speed, DJ Turner from Michigan with the fastest time at the combine, an official 4.26, did not quite reach the 4.22 of Justin Ross, the NFL record, but still a 4.26 40-yard dash by DJ Turner was absolute blazing speed. Again, the fastest time at this year's combine. Those three guys, the speed that they were able to showcase at Friday's drills on the 40-yard dash were great to see. DJ Turner stole the show with that blazing 4.26. Again, fastest time in the entire combine during the draft. Now, there is some issues, potentially, with the timing of a running back that we'll talk about later. What was his official time? It seems like he got a little gypped on his potential time that he actually had, that he actually put on his Instagram yesterday, which is pretty funny to see. But DJ Turner, the official 4.26, fastest time at the combine this year. But now let's talk about some more nitty gritty of what we're able to see with some of these cornerbacks. And again, I like these guys. I think that these guys have potential to be quality starters in the National Football League, at least like 6, 7, 8 of them. So a lot of depth at the top of this position group in this year's class. The one I want to talk about first is Emmanuel Forbes. This is a guy coming into it that a lot of people had questions about, and it didn't really help to see what he was able to put. My cornerback number 4 from Mississippi State weighed in at 6 foot and 166 pounds. Going into the combine at Mississippi State's official website had him listed at 180, weighed in at 166. This is a guy I talked about when I scouted him, has a slim and slender build, a freelancer in coverage, but I didn't really know if he had the size to compete as an NFL player with some of these top wide receivers. I mean, you talk about going, Emmanuel Forbes potentially lining up against DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, some of these bigger body wide receivers, maybe Mike Evans. How will this 166 fare with his weight going into the draft, and how are teams going to view this? When he came out and showed what he can do on Friday, I think that kind of quelled some of the concerns with what he weighed in at on Thursday. Because on Friday, he showed his competitiveness. I said this guy's an ultra competitor. This guy had the most pick sixes in the FBS and in SEC history. He's an aggressive guy. His ball skills and his instincts are absolutely incredible. But at the end of the day, that weight's going to be a concern, and it's going to be something that people are looking at potentially, with some concern going into April's draft when they're evaluating this guy as he weighed in. But still, I think what he was able to showcase once he got onto the field on Friday, he showcased what the tape shows. A guy who's competitive, who's always around the football, and who's willing to make a play, and his height or his weight and his size are just outliers. They're just outliers for what this guy can be on the football field. And Emmanuel Forbes, hats off to you. You had a lot of talk going into Friday, and you're able to quiet it down. A great performance by Emmanuel Forbes. Round of applause to you, guy. You did a lot of great things. Keep letting them hate. Let the haters hate. do what you do best, and hopefully, you know, you get into a right situation once April rolls around and once the draft starts. So Emmanuel Forbes, in my opinion, one of the best performances. With all the talk going in from Thursday to Friday, able to go out there, put on a great show, and, you know, prove some people wrong, I think was great to see out of the guy from Mississippi State. Now, next up, what I want to talk about with this cornerback class, Joey Porter Jr. and Christian Gonzalez. In my opinion, the top two cornerbacks in this class, especially at the combine, you know, Devin Witherspoon didn't participate in any drills from Illinois. He is also in consideration of being one of the top three corners. But Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State and Christian Gonzalez from Oregon seeming like are the 1A, 1B at this cornerback group. And, you know, neither one of them. It's still a debate. Who is going to be the top cornerback drafted? Not even the top cornerback once we get onto the field. Just in the draft, who will be the first one drafted in this year's class between Joey Porter Jr. and Christian Gonzalez? That is still a legitimate question. I don't think either one of them really showcased what they can, you know, what makes them better than the other, in my opinion. Both of them had very good days, very well, and, you know, performed very well on Friday, and it's still a legitimate debate. I think that was one of the big things that teams were wanting to look out for going into this combine, especially teams that are looking at the cornerback class, which one was going to blow everyone away. And I think both guys did an exceptional job on Friday. We're going to pull up first Joey Porter Jr. and what he was able to produce in his combine. So we see here a 9.63 RIS score. You know, the height was good at 6'2", 193 is fine. 17 reps on the bench press, you know, still a great score as well. He had a good explosion grade. The vertical hurt him a little bit at 35, the broad jump at 10.9. Pretty exceptional for his size as well. 4.46 40 is fine. I mean, it's good. I don't know if it was great. But the 10-yard split was, you know, pretty close to elite at a 9.52. So Porter, he showcased what he can do, you know, with his agilities in mind in this year's combine. This is a guy who I'm excited about just with his length and physicality. You know, the physicality is not really something that he could showcase. He showed some of the explosiveness, some of the, you know, physical strength on the bench press. But this is a guy who, you know, at his best is a press man guy. You know, willing to play a deep third coverage, recognize the game in the flats and be physical. Porter offers a lot. Tackling, juice, whatever it is, he's going to make a team very happy with whichever, you know, team decides to go with him. But I still like Christian Gonzalez. I still have him as my cornerback number one right now. Witherspoon is still teetering on that 2-3 with Joey Porter. I wish I was able to see him more. And wish he was able to test at the combine. We'll have to wait till his Illinois Pro Day to see more of Devin Witherspoon. But as for Christian Gonzalez, we'll pull up his stats as well with what he was able to showcase. A 9.96 elite grade at the cornerback position on Friday. A guy who, you know, 6'1", 197, explosion grade off the charts, a 41.5-inch vertical, 11.1. Broad jump, or 11.01 broad jump as well. You know, pretty great 40-yard dash, 4.38 at his position, a 1.54 10-yard split. So Christian Gonzalez also showcased some good stuff at the combine. These two guys, I think, are still neck and neck in terms of who you want to be your top corner in this year's class. I like what I like about Gonzalez the most is his length. I like long corners, big corners. You know, lean, lengthy guys who, you know, has the wingspan, that type of thing. Christian Gonzalez, arm length 32 inches, hand size 9.5. I like what this guy was able to showcase. I thought he had a great day at the combine. This is a guy who he can lock down some players. Great open field tackler, and I can see him being a potential early Pro Bowler in his career in the National Football League. And I still have him as my top corner, but there's debate. There is some debate over between these two guys, which one is going to be the top one in this year's class. So I was able to, you know, I liked seeing it. I like seeing the head-to-head competition these guys pretty much had on Friday at the skills competition, during the skills competition, during the on-field training work as well. And from what we were able to see, talking with these guys on Thursday as well, seeing some the interviews and clips that came out from these two guys. So still neck and neck with Porter and Gonzalez of who's going to be the top one. And now before we get into Saturday, one more big thing that came out on Friday was the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks and the wide receivers and tight ends weighed in and got their measurables on Friday. And the big one, Bryce Young. The stats the entire world was waiting on in terms of the combine. How will Bryce Young measure in at the NFL combine? And here are the results. Bryce Young's height, 5'10". Bryce Young's weight, 204. Got above the 200 threshold for Bryce Young. So pretty much on par combine-wise that we saw from Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray pretty much. At 204, 5'10", comparing the two, especially more towards Kyler Murray. And, honestly, the weight isn't that big of a concern with Bryce Young compared to Kyler Murray. Just the style of game is, very different from the two. Obviously, Kyler Murray is a lot more adamant to running the ball within that offense in Arizona. Bryce Young leaning more towards being a pocket passer in the National Football League. But still, 5'10", 204. Some teams are going to have some concerns over this, but he got over that threshold. The threshold was the 200 pounds. Will he get over 200 pounds at the weigh-in day? That answer was yes on Friday. So then Saturday, we got to see these guys in action. See these guys in action on the football field with the wide receivers and with the tight ends. So let's talk about what we saw. First of all, we saw one of the greatest combine performances from a quarterback in recent memory. Hello, Anthony Richardson from Florida. If you didn't know him, you do now. This guy is quickly rising up the charts right now, has the potential to be an easy top five pick, in my opinion. And some team, if you're going for a home run pick, Anthony Richardson is your guy. If you're going to make the splash, if you're going to make the big move and trading up, go for Anthony Richardson. I'm completely fine going for broke on the quarterback from Florida, especially after the athletic, phenomenal performance he put on Saturday. This guy on Friday weighed in 6'4", 244 at the quarterback position. That's Derrick Henry size that we saw at Derrick Henry's combine coming out of Alabama. Derrick Henry size at the quarterback position. Not only that, this guy set the vertical record of 40 and a half inch vertical and tied the broad jump record at a 10.9. We're going to pull it up here. The official RAS score that we saw from Anthony Richardson on Saturday. Perfect 10 out of 10, of course, without the bench press factored into it, but still 6'4", 244 at the quarterback position, a perfect 10 composite grade on the vertical jump, a perfect 10, again, broke the record for the vertical jump, tied the record for the broad jump at the quarterback position, and then, of course, the speed. The speed grade, elite as well, 4.43 at 6'4", 244 pounds. Are you kidding me, Anthony Richardson? Absolutely incredible. A 10.53 10-yard split, a 2.58 20-yard split. This guy tested out of the water on Saturday. Any grade you want to consider in terms of the combine and the relative athletic score, Anthony Richardson hit it on the nose with every single one of them. An absolute athletic phenom. He might be the most athletic quarterback we've seen coming into the NFL draft since Cam Newton. I'm dead serious on that regard. Anthony Richardson, if I'm making a pick, if I'm taking a quarterback at the top of this year's class, you have to take Anthony Richardson. Go for broke. You don't win this league you know, dragging your feet, taking the easy picks. Take Anthony Richardson at the top of this year's class. If he's a bust, he's a bust. But he has the potential to turn into something special in the National Football League with what he was able to showcase this weekend in Indianapolis. But in terms of on the field and throwing, C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State took all the headlines. This guy was absolutely ripping passes, putting them right on the money every single time. And, this is what was expected. Going into it, everyone knew that C.J. Stroud was the most accurate passer in this year's class. But by that far, I don't think people expected that much difference between C.J. Stroud throwing the ball and the other quarterbacks throwing the ball. C.J. Stroud was throwing on an absolute rope. We knew he had a good arm strength. We knew he had tremendous accuracy, a tremendous, excellent anticipatory thrower. But wow. If you haven't already, go back and watch it. Go back and watch the highlights of C.J. Stroud and his throws that he was able to do. A great combine showcase from C.J. Stroud throwing the football. I think he answered a lot of questions with his accuracy, proved a lot of people right with that accuracy, and there's still a lot to like with the guy. C.J. Stroud seems like the one who may have slightly started falling down until he started throwing, but I just don't know with this quarterback class. I think that there's still a couple minds in the league that are infatuated with, for whatever reason, with Will Levis from Kentucky. I don't think Will Levis had a very particularly strong combine, to help boost his stock. I think he stayed pretty much consistent with where he was in his projection. Anthony Richardson, of course, jumped him. C.J. Stroud potentially jumped him as well, showing his accuracy. And then Bryce Young, many people still say as the top guy in this year's class at the quarterback position. But still, C.J. Stroud, exceptional showcase, throwing the football on Saturday, and it was a lot of fun to watch that happen. Now, as for this wide receiver class, that's not what I was expecting to see. That honestly, the wide receiver class in this year, it fell flat at the combine. I'm not excited and particularly invested in taking any of these players in the first round. I think if you have a need for it, Quentin Johnston, I think, is the one that really showcased a lot of good stuff at the combine and what he was able to do on Saturday. But he's just a guy where if you need a big guy at the position, you need a true X wide receiver that's tall, that can get after the football, Quentin Johnston's your guy. If you need him, you can take him, and I'm perfectly okay with that being a first-round pick. Outside of that, I'm not particularly, happy or blown away. I should say, I'm not particularly blown away by any of these other guys at the wide receiver position. Cedric Tillman out of Tennessee, I thought, had a pretty good day. He rose up the charts compared to everyone else. Marvin Mims, also, decent. But still, I don't think any of these guys really exceptionally blew me away. I was expecting a lot more from what I saw from these wide receivers. I was expecting more from Zay Flowers. I was expecting a lot more from Jordan Addison. Jackson Smith and Jigba and Jordan Addison, I get, are dealing with some injuries. Addison had a back strain. Jackson Smith and Jigba had a hamstring issue going into the combine, which is why we didn't see him do the 40. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I thought, with the agility work on the field, looked great. But again, that's what we were expecting to see from him. It's not a guy where he really has the top end speed, but the route runner, the separating with his footwork, getting in and out of breaks, short yardage situations, that's his game. It was great to see that even with the hamstring issue still show up on the tape at the combine. But overall, this position did not wow me. I expect to see a lot more than we did on Saturday from this wide receiver group. And flat out, I was disappointed. And now, recency bias, that makes sense. What we saw the last 2 years from the combine have been some of the best wide receiver groups that have come into the NFL ever. So, yes, it's going to be some disappointing stats, some disappointing numbers, some disappointing, performances on the field at the combine this year compared to the last 2 years. And that was expected going into it, but I wasn't expecting the letdown that we saw from some of these guys. Now, this tight end group, They were as advertised. As advertised at the tight end group. We didn't get to see much of Dalton Kincaid, who's also dealing with an injury concern going into the combine, trying to get it figured out. Michael Mayer, came in at the combine. Came in as potentially the top guy at the position with this tight end group. But in my opinion, the new tight end one is in Georgia. And the new tight end one showed out in Indianapolis. So we're going to pull this up here. Darnell Washington. Remember the name. Because I believe Darnell Washington will be the top tight end drafted in this year's class. 6'6", 264 at tight end. Again, there's some debate. You know, we saw Luke Musgrave. I think it was Zach Kuntz. We saw Zach Kuntz and Darnell Washington side by side at the combine. One listed at 6'7", one listed at 6'6", one was taller than the other. So I don't know much about the 6'5", of Darnell Washington's height. I think he was a little bit taller than that, but still a 6'6", 264 tight end who ran a 4.6, 440-yard dash. He had an incredible one-handed grab during the football, during the drill work, receiving the football. All right. First and foremost, the blocking reps with the, pushing the sled, Darnell Washington killed everyone else in the class. And, again, as advertised, this guy comped as, the second coming of Mercedes Lewis, one of the best blocking tight ends the NFL has seen. Darnell Washington is that guy as a run blocker. And as a pass blocker as well, as a blocking tight end, he can be your sixth offensive lineman. But what we're able to see with this 4.64 40-yard dash, with a 4.08 shuttle time, both ranked in the great to elite category, at the position, and also seeing his receiving work as well, seeing him run routes when he ran through the gauntlet, that was eye-opening to me. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch. Darnell Washington running through the gauntlet. Great, performance as well from Darnell Washington. He's my tight end one. I think it's easy to say. 6'7", 264. The stats that he was able to produce, 10-2 broad jump. It's an easy favorite. And easy to see why he is now my tight end one going into this year's class. I was hoping and praying that the Green Bay Packers could potentially move up into the second round and take Darnell. That's a foregone conclusion. I think Darnell Washington is going to be an easy lock into the first round now. And what does that mean for Michael Mayer? I think Michael Mayer might end up falling out of the first round. I think there's still a lot of people who, despite not seeing much from him this weekend, I still think there's a lot of people interested in Dalton Kincaid as well in this year's class. But this tight end position absolutely showcased what they were about. Top to bottom. We knew this was going to be a top group and one of the best groups that we've seen come into the NFL in terms of a tight end class. They lived up to the hype. Great performance on Saturday. And good Lord, Darnell Washington showcased what you were about on Saturday. So next up, we have the final day yesterday of the NFL Combine on Sunday. Still waiting on some numbers to come in as well. From what we were able to see on Sunday, but the offensive line group and the running backs. Let's start with the running backs. I want to start with them first before we get into the big fellas, let's just go ahead and say. Those big fellas were moving. Those guys were moving on Sunday. I love to see it from the big fellas. Get out there. Get moving. Love to see it. But these running backs. These running backs, especially the top two, the 1A and the 1B. I talked about Joey Porter Jr. and Christian Gonzalez at the cornerback position where they didn't really, one or the other prove who should be the top one drafted. That's how I feel about these running backs. Bijan Robinson from Texas, as a true rusher, is the top guy in this year's class. But as a more, modern style NFL running back, Jahmyr Gibbs out of Alabama, I like him just as much, if not more. He has that Alvin Kamara type game in him. And now I still know that there's some teams out there that love the old school, grind it out, power back, and that is Bijan Robinson. But Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, has a lot more potential in what in terms of what he can do. But at the same time, I mean, it's a 1A, 1B. Bijan Robinson had a great day on Sunday. He had a great showcase, you know, with his receiving work, you know, catching the football, running routes, getting out in the open field, and Jahmyr Gibbs as well. This is still a 1A, 1B. And no one beyond those two are in the same stratosphere as Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs in this year's class. There's some guys in there that are going to squeak in, maybe make some, you know, a name for themselves. Zach Charbonnet, Tajay Spears, who going into the combine had a lot of buzz. Deuce Vaughn, who, you know, a little undersized, but I liked what he was able to showcase, a ferocious runner in Deuce Vaughn. That's exactly what we saw at K-State coming out and coming into this year's combine. But Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs had two great scores. Bijan Robinson, I think, had the better showcasing on Sunday that we'll pull up here. A 9.81 RAS score, 901 40-yard dash. 901 composite grade on a 4.46 40-yard dash, with a 1.54 10-yard split. Vertical and broad jump were great, nothing exceptional. But the elite speed that Bijan showcased at his size, pretty good. And it's easy to see why a lot of teams have him on their radar as the number one running back and, you know, potential running back to make it back into the first round of this year's class. I still like Jahmyr Gibbs. I like Jahmyr Gibbs in terms of the overall three-down work that he can provide to an offense. He came in, ran a 4.36, the second fastest 40-yard dash time at the running back position. And this is what I was talking about. This was the time I was preluding to earlier. I think he got gypped. Look at the tape, run it back, slow-mo it. That was not a 4.36. Seeing him run, he got out of the gate slow, but when he got to that top speed, he was through. And he was lightning in a literal bottle running that 40-yard dash. That was not a 4.36. The NFL needs to look into that, adjust that. He put it on his Instagram as well yesterday. That was not a 4.46 from Jahmyr Gibbs at the combine yesterday. I don't believe it. Run it back, check the tapes, fix the time. But this guy, he showed the top end speed and the acceleration and, you know, just the electric lightning in a bottle. I said that he showcased in Alabama. When he's in the open field, he's gone. Sayonara, see you later. He showcased that 100% on Sunday. Now, the rest of the running back group, some of them, like I talked about, some of the names have popped off. They're going to be some great, day two, day three guys who are going to be some great depth guys coming out of the backfield. But I don't think anyone is within the same stratosphere, within the same universe as Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson in this year's class at the running back room. Now let's talk about the big fellas, and we'll wrap it up here with the offensive linemen for today. Let's start with DeJuan Jones. The Mountain lived up to the Mountain. 6'8", 374. If you want a literal wall on the left side of your offensive lineman, or on the left side of your offensive line, DeJuan Jones from Ohio State is your guy. This guy, I think, is going to quickly rise up. Ultra-rare size, the wingspan. The wingspan of DeJuan Jones was incredible, and we knew it was going to be. We knew it was going to be one of the best we have ever seen, and it was. DeJuan Jones had a very good day, in terms of showing what he can prove. And this offensive tackle class in particular, I think, in my opinion, proved a lot more than what we were expecting going into it. I didn't think this offensive tackle class, in my opinion, was that strong compared to what we've seen in the last couple of years. But there's some guys who came out here and they had pretty good days and showcased what they can do. I mean, we're going to pull up one first here from BYU. Blake Freeland had a good day. as well a 9.82 composite score. The explosions were off the charts, 37-inch vertical, 9.98, 40-yard dash of 4.98. At his size was a pretty good score, especially for an offensive tackle. But, you know, a lot of the concerns we're seeing with the tackles are the wingspan and the weight, which is still a concern here with Blake Freeland at 302 pounds as an offensive tackle. Not really, what you want from an offensive tackle in the National Football League, but, you know, he was able to showcase a lot of good things on the field, as an offensive tackle coming into it. And ultimately, some of these guys show that there's some depth, and a lot more depth than what we were expecting to see from this offensive tackle class this year. So I was excited to see that and seeing some of these guys come out and perform. DeJuan Jones, he caught my eye with how big he is. A mountain at the left tackle position. He didn't move quite as well as Mekhi Becton, a former mountain of a left tackle that came into the class. But two more guys who also performed well on Sunday out of the offensive tackle group. Broderick Jones out of Georgia had a 9.44 RAS score. Not good. Good. Not crazy. Explosiveness. But another guy who had a sub-5 40-yard dash at a 4.97. Another one as well. That we'll try to pull up here real quick. Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. He showcased a 4.95 RAS score. Again, great vertical, or not great vertical, great explosive grade, great speed grade, 3.33, good weight as well at the position. So they showcased, this position group on the offensive tackle group, potentially a lot more depth than what we were expecting to see. I mean, we're not even talking about some of the top guys in Peter Skoronski, Paris Johnson Jr., who are the top two at this, position, depending on where you want to put Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern with, his length and his arm length. Is he better suited for a guard, what have you. But I think this offensive tackle group, I think they are deeper than expected, and I think they're better than as advertised going into it. I was excited to see these guys work yesterday. And just going into it overall from this offensive tackle group. And even on the inside, there are some guys in there that were great as well that I'm excited about on the interior of the offensive line. John Michael Schmitz, top center in the class. He didn't have the breathtaking performance I expected him to have at the combine, but still a pretty solid day in shot for him on Sunday. Osiris Torrance, by and large from Florida, top guard in this year's class as well. Again, depending on where you want to put Peter Skoronski. But this offensive line group and at the tackle position showcased a lot more than I was expecting to see on the combine on Sunday. And overall, a great week in Indianapolis. Some absolutely breathtaking performances, some top scores that we have not seen in years, some record-breaking performances as well, and some absolute phenoms who rose up the charts this weekend and hopefully painted a more clear and broad picture. Yes, there's some guys who, did not impress and that are potentially going to see their stock unfortunately fall after this week's combine, but I think there's a lot more guys who had eye-opening performances this weekend and showcased a lot of good things to prospective teams going into April's draft. So that's it. Put a bow on it, tie it up. Shout out Indianapolis. Another phenomenal combine. Do not take this out of Indianapolis. Do not take this event out of Lucas Oil Stadium. It is a treat like none other every year in March. Another great weekend in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. And that's a bow. Put a bow on it. NFL Combine officially done. All the takeaways here, the big storylines, what you needed to see, and all of that. And right now, a lot of eyes are on the Chicago Bears. If we're going to talk draft talk, a lot of eyes are on the Chicago Bears. Next agenda, the number one overall pick. What happens in the next 2 weeks with the number one overall pick would be a big storyline to follow in the National Football League. And in terms of the NFL as a whole, again, big week ahead. Tomorrow, the franchise tag deadline at 4 p.m. a week from today, the legal tampering period opens up for the free agency. Big news still upcoming with quarterback Aaron Rodgers and his future in Green Bay, his future playing football in the National Football League. What are we expecting to see out of him? But that is all the time we have today. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you all for stopping by either on YouTube or on WSOE 89.3. It's a pleasure. Pleasure as always. Thank you all for stopping by. Thank you all for tuning in. And if you missed any part of today's episode, it will be posted on the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get a podcast, at The Slaw Sports Show. But that's all the time we have here for today. We are signing off. Thank you. Have a great week ahead. And until next time, peace.